Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tally the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have the Marjorie Alexander. Now, before I tell you what Marjorie does, I just want to say that Marjorie has been the voice of Real Stories. And she has also been my mentor and my coach for podcasting. So I'm really excited to welcome today, Marjorie!
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, this is such a pleasure. This is such a pleasure. And it warms my heart that, you know, a year ago when we started this journey for your podcast, that you are still going. Let me tell you, pod fade is a real thing. There are so many people that start a show, they get 5-7 episodes in and they just fall off the map. Mm-hmm. And you have really done big things with this show. You had amazing interviewees or conversations. You've had amazing guests for your conversations. And I'm super proud of you. You were one of my first clients. So
Really?
I'm excited I've been excited to keep up with your journey so far.
And I just want to say, I'm just excited that, you know, you've been an amazing mentor for me and you've really helped me out. And these little things that you don't think about, because I just want to, I'm so excited. I want to jump straight in. But I love that you're very particular about things. And I love that. And I feel that's so important.
Particular. I love your gentle language there.
Well, it's important, isn't it? With every skill, you know, you need that with someone when you're working from this perspective of the podcast. There's a lot of technical things that go on behind the scenes. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a really amazing thing. So yes, basically introduced you now. Today is my chance to interview Marjorie about her real story, about her journey. So that's really exciting. So I'm going to throw you right in. I'm going to dive in deep. I always say that. I'm going to dive deep.
Let's do it.
And I'm going to ask you a little bit about why you do what you do, first of all, as a podcaster. As a podcast coach, what kind of led you into that?
Well, my background, and I as someone that does editing, has been editing media for 15, 20 years, it's always so weird to speak and then have both of my ears covered. It makes me feel like I'm swimming. So I always have one ear open. My background is in filmmaking. And I guess what led me to podcasting is really just that I had a master's thesis project that I needed to get done. And most of my peers were, you know, we were in an environmental sustainability master's program. So a lot of them had some field work that they had as their primary piece of their thesis project. Some of them had lab work. But I've always been more in media, more in creativity and art, things like that. And so I was really trying to figure out how to have a robust thesis project that would actually just pass so I could graduate without me doing too much work outside of my comfort zone. Little did I know that podcasting was going to be the opposite of something that was within my comfort zone. I knew how to do websites. I knew how to edit. I knew how to do project management for media projects in general. Mm. And really, what I was going for initially was sort of a cross-country road trip TV show where I interviewed folks in the sustainability field who were, you know, urban farmers or who had headed up various nonprofit organizations, and I wanted to travel around and kind of do a day in the life series with them. But that's obviously a really big project in terms of scope and budget and timelines. And for, you know, the money that I had and the timeline that I had and trying to graduate on time, that was not going to work. So I decided to basically condense it to just the story. And how can I get a story across? Well, interviewing people seemed like the easiest way to go about doing that. And also I was an avid podcast listener at the time, and there just were not any good podcasts out there about environmental sustainability. And this was, gosh, 5 years ago. It was a huge topic still back then. And there were no shows that were currently being produced that were also well produced on that topic, and it just blew my mind. So instead of me trying to figure out where the next, you know, environmental podcast was going to come from, I just decided to make it myself.
No, and I'm glad you did, because that's how I found you, really. Because I do love the environment as well. It's another side of me. I really do care. And regards to climate change, and I think, was it recently, I read the book of Nick Haddad, who wrote about the extinction of butterflies. And I know you probably love that, because that's a real problem. And I remember for my daughter, I remember when she's about 5 years old, I got her a caterpillar. And I'm sorry, it was one of those caterpillars in a box that you slowly watch the caterpillar over a amount of days turn into a butterfly. And then she took it to her nursery at the time, and they all watched these butterflies and set them free. And it was just such a spiritual, for me, an amazing experience to just watch my, at the time, because my daughter's a bit older now, but at that time, just watch that journey. So yeah, so it's just such a problem right now, isn't it, really, the extinction? But it's, I say, it's not about the extinction, it's what we can we do now to push things forward to prevent the extinction from happening. Because absolutely. I do feel there's a process where you can turn things around, you know, in terms of the butterflies. But coming back to you, I just want to focus, we're focusing a little bit more on you, I'm going off topic now.
Sure.
But coming back to you, I want you to tell me a little bit about your childhood. And I want you to pick a memory from your childhood that's a positive memory, that tells me a little bit about, something a little bit about you.
That tells you a little something about me. Gosh. Yeah. Well, I don't know why this comes to mind, but my father and I were very close. We're practically the same person. We talk alike, and we have similar mannerisms, and we tell exactly the same terrible dad jokes. and he used to take me to a local park, and we would have these rocket kits. So you would buy kind of this plane or rocket that was basically just made of, you know, plastic and cardboard parts, and you would put it together, and you'd have a tiny little, basically a tiny little stick of dynamite.
Oh!
And you'd stick it up the stick it up the bum of the rocket.
Yeah,
and you'd light it, and you'd run away, and you would go whoosh. And I don't know why that came to mind. Actually, that experience has been top of mind for me for several weeks now. I'm not really sure why. But that, I just love the freedom in that. Very playful, kind of making something out of nothing, creative. I got to be outside a lot with him doing things like that, hiking and making model airplanes and model rockets and stuff like that. I don't know what that says about me, but that's a positive memory. I don't know. Does that give you any clue? You know what's interesting though?
Go for it.
There's a lot about my childhood that I don't remember. Like a lot.
Ooh,
like a lot.
Wow.
And so and there are a couple experiences that I look back and I'm like, yeah, that probably is me blocking out something.
Yeah.
Which I've, you know, come to terms with, and I am fine with that, and fine not knowing, because that's, you know, my subconscious protecting me from something.
Yes, that's right.
But yeah, there are, I do have several good experiences with my dad that are very similar to that. Just very playful and get out there, you know, roll around in the dirt, get dirty, explore, have fun, laugh a lot, and learn about the world kind of on your own.
You know what? I love that. I love the fact that it's a rocket. And I love the fact that your eyes lit up when you spoke about your dad. And your tone of voice changed as well. So there was almost excitement. Yeah, there was excitement there.
I love you too, Mom.
But you know what? They always say that, don't they? In life, you know, it's those relationships like a father and his daughter and a mother and her son. They always say they're kind of special relationships, aren't they? And I just think that's how they are a lot of the time. And it's almost like that. I think I love the Carleen Anderson's track, A Piece of Clay, which it says someone, what's the lyrics? It says, everybody wants someone to be their own piece of clay. And it starts, says, father, stop criticizing your son. Mothers, please leave your daughters alone. And I remember, I was into Carleen Anderson quite young. And I just remember listening to those lyrics when I was in my 20s. Thought, yeah, mum.
I'm familiar with that song. I don't think I've ever heard that song before. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, I totally. Look it up. It's called Piece of Clay and it's Carleen Anderson. Absolutely. Well, I love music and lyrics. There's such deepness there, do you know? And that's one of the reasons, actually, I loved your voice. I want to say that to an audience because when I listen to your voice, because obviously you do the voiceover, I always think of Michelle and Natticello. There's some tone in your voice.
Yes, you mentioned that. You mentioned that. You know, there are probably about a dozen people who have made the same comment over the years. And her music is fantastic. So that is definitely a compliment for me. For sure.
Totally. Because I'd love to hear you sing, but don't worry, I'm not going to get you to sing on the podcast, but.
No, not today. Not today. I love to sing. But if I'm being really honest, I think there's probably only maybe a handful of people that have ever heard me sing.
Oh, wow.
Ever. Oh, wow. That's one of those talents that I keep hidden.
Yeah.
More hidden than other things.
That probably means that you're really good at it then.
I used to be much better at it. And then I think I got sick a few years ago and it just hasn't quite been the same. But you know, I try to reach those higher notes sometimes and hope that my voice doesn't crack and I'm embarrassing myself with my windows rolled down and there's somebody in the car next to me looking over like, what are you doing?
I love those moments when you catch someone's eye when you're kind of in the groove and you're just relaxing.
And either they're gonna catch it too and they're gonna just go along with it, or they're like, ooh, and they're like rolling up the window. Kids these days, kids are like, what is she doing? This is how you used to roll up the window, folks. Handle on the side. Not just a button.
That's it. It's a whole new world now, isn't it? A whole new world. That is absolutely madness, but that's quite exciting. Okay, so coming kind of away from your childhood and going to life, just looking back, could you tell me a point in life that you found challenging, but then something that you've also learned from as well? Different energy now.
Oh boy. Well, challenging, but something that I also learned from. Well, I'll actually tie it back to podcasting.
Okay.
Because I kind of never actually finished up that story. So the podcast was a master's thesis project. I had a timeline. I actually finished 4 months early. So my last semester of school, I actually did nothing, which was wonderful. But in my own mind, I had a pretty tight deadline. And, you know, these people, I've done, I don't know, maybe 75 interviews, let's say, with mostly people that I've never met before, that I've never even had a conversation with before. And these days, I make so many of the arrangements with their assistants or their office managers or other people in the company that they work for. And I, used to have tremendous social anxiety,
Oh, wow.
I still do to a certain extent. But I remember the very first interviews that I did, I intentionally scheduled three interviews, not back to back, but in the same afternoon, because I knew that I was going to be so nervous. If the first one didn't go well, I was going to throw in the towel and I was going to say, throw my hands up and say, I have to do something else because this is just, it's too scary. Mm. And I spent that entire first day of interviewing crying. Wow. So nervous about, you know, am I going to say the wrong thing? What if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? Just afraid of looking silly. Or being caught not knowing the answer. It was terrifying for me, absolutely terrifying. Now, 70, 75 plus interviews later, and still mostly interviews with complete strangers.
Yeah.
I still keep to myself, but I can have a good conversation with just about anybody. Mm. And it's so funny because recently I'm single, but you know, I have dabbled in online dating, and about a year ago, someone basically told me that I tend to interview, like the interviewing, like I'm such a good interviewer that like
it happens all the time.
But you know, some people, you know, you ask good questions and they're like, oh my God, you're such a good listener. And, you know, and then other people get a little weirded out by that. And so I have to, you know, I have to know when to dial it back. But it was a wonderful, I really used this show, A Sustainable Mind, as a way to, I don't want to say make a name for myself, but before A Sustainable Mind, like no one except for my friends and family had any clue who I was. Mm. Now the show has, I think almost, and it may be over at this point, I don't track the numbers super closely, but over 1.2 million downloads. And I said, over 75 interviews and a ton of followers and fans on social media who are just super excited to be hearing these conversations. And they've gone off to start their own nonprofits and their own, you know, trash pickup organizations. And the show has had such a wonderful impact from something that was just about me finishing a paper. And I was absolutely terrified to do, but it's opened so many doors. It's gotten me a job, a really good job. Which I'm actually probably transitioning out of right now. It's gotten me friendships and wonderful sustainable relationships, business relationships with people that I've met online. I've never met you in person, but we've kept in touch.
And
I do the same thing with several of my guests. And of course, the ability to talk from, I guess, a more confident place these days. I still stumble on my words. I still am constantly always looking off, which is just something that I do when I'm thinking of things, you know, remembering memories and bringing them into the current conversation. But I'm so much better than I used to be. A Sustainable Mind and podcasting in general has been a real, real gift to me that I had no idea what that was actually going to look like. For me, it was a project that had an end date and it's turned into something much bigger for sure.
You know what? That's really surprising to hear, actually. It's really, but then like, you never judge a book, you know, you don't know what's behind those doors. But thank you for telling. I think it's so important when you speak to another human being that's honest. Because I think, I know that I've had anxiety, for example, before I started this podcast, and I think I spoke to you about it, a bit of anxiety about it. And I think it's so good to speak. And you said something quite interesting. You said, like, something that held you back before was being afraid of looking silly. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that comes from?
That's a good question.
Thank you. From a good podcaster, I'll take that. That's good.
where does that come from?
It's always,
I don't know, but part of it for me, something that a lot of people in my life have told me over the years, and more specifically these days, because, you know, I'm about to turn 35 later this year, and when you are a relatively well-adjusted, socially aware, intelligent, introspective person, sometimes you're a little too smart for your own good and you get in your way a lot. That's me. I don't know where that comes from. I think I know enough to know that I don't know a whole lot. And I assume that the people in the audience, whatever that audience happens to be, know just as much as I do about the same thing. And that I'm going to get caught in a situation where they ask me something and I'm like, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if it was an experience from school or something else, but I have had three traumatic, what I would consider traumatic, and that, you know, is up for interpretation depending on who you are. I've had three traumatic experiences on stage where I was speaking to a group. And the first time it happened, I was like 6 years old. It was Black History Month here in the United States, February. And I had to do a presentation to a group that I was a part of. It's called Jack and Jill of America. And it's specifically for African American mothers and their children. And it's a service organization, and they do social events together. And it's just regardless of what school you go to or where you live, it's a nice way to have community, you know, people who are of similar experience. So I was involved with that from first grade all the way until I graduated from high school. And so for Black History Month, had to give a presentation. And I remember being on stage, I'd had like this little piece of wood and I had like the battery that's connected to a light bulb and a little circuit board. And my dad is very scientific and he's a computer programmer. And so he helped me build this thing. I don't remember who the inventor was that I was trying to illustrate something. And I forgot my lines. I forgot everything. And my mom was sitting there in the front row and she kind of whispered stuff to me. And I guess I finished the presentation. I really don't remember, but ever since then, I've just been terrified of speaking in front of groups, that I'm going to forget my lines, that I'm going to stumble over my words, you know, things like this. Just the fact that we're on video is like a huge hurdle that I've been challenged with and trying to overcome for the last couple of years. People are starting to, you know, invite me for speaking engagements and to teach a specific topic. I think in 2019 I taught, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 different workshops online. A couple of them were in person, and it just terrifies me. I don't know why, but I do know that whether it's a specific message that I have to share or am helping create a platform for other people to share their experiences and their stories, like A Sustainable Mind, it is something that I am good at. I have the voice for it. And so, you know, I have a great gift, but I also have a really big challenge and difficult time with things that are adjacent to one another. And so I just have to kind of wiggle my way through there and deal with it the best I can. And I don't know. The other two instances of me being on stage, flubbing my lines and everything are, you know, neither here nor there, but it's something that's always been there and I have not been able to get over it. You can probably help me with it though.
Oh, thank you. You know, as you were just talking there, I was just thinking, it is so refreshing to hear. And I don't mean that in a negative way, I mean it in a positive way, because a lot of people always say, hey, I'm brilliant at this, I'm this, I'm that. You hear a lot of I am, don't you? You know, I am this, I am great, I am amazing, I am. And it's so nice to hear and refreshing to hear, you know what, you're being honest in terms of where it comes from, where the anxiety comes from, because then the awareness mm-hmm. helps you to move forward. Because I just want to say, nobody knows everything.
Yeah, that's true. See, intellectually, I know that, but like integrating that, you know, and you're you do hypnosis, and I am a certified NLP practitioner. I mean, these are things that I know.
Yeah.
And I've had clients in those things, and I work with them, and they make great breakthroughs. And then when I try to do it with myself, it just kind of goes to you, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, we can talk about that afterwards. So you can help me out a little bit.
I'm telling you, I'm picking a client up here on the show. That's quite interesting. But anyway.
why not, right?
But no, it is refreshing to hear, because I said nobody knows everything. No one's good at everything. And I think the more, as people, we get to the kind of the crux of that, would mm-hmm. be able to help. And I do you feel that there's another layer that I'm going to bring in, the kind of the black thing, because I had a lovely conversation with another black female of a friend of mine, and we were having this whole conversation of having to be not just good but amazing.
Yes.
And my mum said that to me when I was young. She said, Tanya, you can't just be good, you've got to be brilliant. You know, and so you kind of have that pressure that's carried with you with whatever you do. And within the community, sometimes within like black communities, you have that energy of just not being good, but you've got to be brilliant. You know, and so if you're not brilliant, because I wasn't an A grade student, I wasn't brilliant, you know, when you're not brilliant, it's like, hey, why can't you just accept me for who I am? Why can't I just be accepted? Why can't I make a mistake? Why can't I slur my words? Why can't I, do you know what I mean? Because that is so real. And I feel now that with the world changing, that people are seeing that and recognizing that, hey, nobody is perfect. So let's roll with this imperfectness. Which is kind of the new thing to roll with,
it's like whatever imperfectness is in the background, everybody's seen it now with Corona, right?
totally. But what do you feel about it? Has that been your, I don't want to make an assumption, because that's been my experience as a black woman, but would you identify with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, hands down. And it's actually a conversation that I've not had from someone that grew up in the UK. So it's interesting, and it's comforting, I guess, to know that that particular piece of the experience is the same. You're right. Growing up, especially being from a family of, I think I'm fifth generation college student. So for me, there's no like, oh my gosh, she's the first generation to go to college and we're really rooting for her and everyone's behind. It's like, my mom has 4 degrees, you know, in my mind growing up as a, you know, being a teenager, I was like, I'm never going to be that. So like, how can I be excellent and shine? It's very difficult to do that when you come from a family that is particularly that high achieving in whatever ways they are, business owners, entrepreneurs, people that have doctorates in my family. Most people on my mom's side of the family, sorry, I have cat hair on my face, so that's a real moment. All of the people on my mom's side of the family, I think, definitely all of the women and the majority of the men are or have been educators. So it's always been difficult for me to, and I've always been very creative. Most people in my family are not as creative as me. And I've always kind of just been trying to figure out how I can achieve like the same level or the expected level of success, but doing it in my way. And luckily my parents kind of gave me that freedom. But also like, what does success look like as an artist? And I never quite made it as an artist, because even though I'm very creative and artistic, I'm not, or maybe I didn't like to practice, and so I just never got that good. So I've got, you know, 1 foot over here in the creative side and 1 foot over here in the, you know, project management and, you know, doing a lot of assistant directing and producing in the film industry and thing, and putting those two together and what does success look like in that lane. I've never quite figured that out for myself. I think I'm still trying to figure that out. What does success mean for me? I don't know. But yes, as a Black woman growing up in the United States and growing up with my family in particular, it's not good enough to be good. You always have to be great. You always have to be excellent. You always have to be at the top of your class. And if you're not, you know, you have to find something else about you that's special and sets you apart, I guess.
I think that's beautiful. And I also feel that it is time to let go of that.
For sure.
That generation, and that's why I love I'm having this conversation with you, because hopefully other people will be listening and may have had a similar experience. And I'm just putting a shout out to the community there. It's time to let go of that.
Yeah.
And just as a parent, just allow your children to be who they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And just like you say, going back to Carleen Anderson, like, stop criticizing your son, mothers leave your daughters alone, and nurture them, do all those things. But because I suppose before it was about protecting your daughters or protecting your son, in terms of you've got to do the best because it's going to be harder for us than it is for anybody else.
Yeah.
But I think in this day and age, there's traumatic blocks that it can create that can prevent you from being your best self or seeing that you are your best self, because you're so obsessed with perfection and not allowing yourself to let go. So I think that's a really positive message today. But you know what, as time, I'm going to bring it to a close now because of just time. But before I bring it to a close, I know it's just, I'm going really deep and then we bring it to close. But before I bring it to a close, I just want to see if there's any kind of words or anyone that inspires you, any words of wisdom that you want to leave with my audience.
You know, seeing as how I've listened to several of your episodes before, I should have known that this was coming.
I don't ask it all the time, sometimes I forget. That's my imperfect self. Sometimes I forget to ask that question, but it's a nice roundup at the end, you know?
Well, something that's kind of been up for me recently, and before we pressed record, we were chatting about me just moving to Philadelphia. I'm actually staying with a friend here for the next month. I just got here 4 days ago and have basically kind of put down a lot of what I built in Los Angeles and am allowing myself an opportunity to not redefine myself, but to kind of pick out the pieces that I really enjoy about myself and my life in Los Angeles, and release the things that did not serve me, but that I felt for whatever reason locked into. And I was talking to a friend during our last socially distant brunch outside, and she's quite a bit older than me, but we've kind of been on a parallel track recently in terms of life lessons that we're learning. And something that she said, which is not hers, I don't know who said it, but wherever you find yourself, there you are. And I think at least what she meant by that was the challenges that you have, the pieces of yourself that you may not like about yourself, and of course the things about you that you love, no matter how far away you move, no matter you know, what friends you release or dump along the way, and what new job you get, you are really going to have to learn to either accept it, love it, or change it. It's you. You can move halfway across the world, there you are, it's you. So I have been taking a lot of time this year to get quiet, to get off of social media, to release others' expectations of myself, and really focus on building a life that I can be proud of. Because to be completely honest, I don't really know if I've been doing that this whole time.
Wow.
So while I think I've built some things that, I can be really proud of, I am in a position in my life where I'm asking myself, is this what I want my life to look like in another 13 years? And 13 years is the time between when I graduated from college and basically moved here. It's about 13 years.
Oh, wow. That's quite, again, that's a number. That's precise, isn't it? 13 years. Well, I think that's interesting number numerologically as well. Wow. Yeah,
exactly. Wow. So wherever you find yourself, there you are. If you don't like it, change it, or just freaking get used to it.
I love that. And I love what's being said. I don't know if that's, I'm thinking it's like Maya Angelou, because the whole idea, isn't it? But I just love that idea of just you're just saying what we're saying, just be you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever situation you're in, be in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Mm-hmm. That's such amazing advice.
And be gentle with yourself. That's another thing that I've been learning, is being gentle with yourself. Like, you can't, you know, I learned something like, oh my God, I can't believe that I am just now realizing that. Well, I can't change overnight. Usually humans can't change overnight, because we've got so much mental garbage, or we've got to move things around in our lives. It takes time to change. It takes time to adapt and pivot to whatever it is that we think is the better direction that we should be going in. It takes time. So be gentle with yourself, and if you can't change it, just get used to it.
Love that. And I think that's a brilliant way to end the show. That's amazing. If you can't, you know, can't change it, get used to it, embrace it.
Absolutely.
And imperfection. That's, thank you for that.
You put things so much more gentler than I do.
Like, oh, do I?
Just get used to it. You're like, oh, accept it. we can chat afterwards about our clients' experiences with us, because only certain type of people like me, certain types of clients like how I handle their coaching sessions. I can be a little bit of a stickler sometimes. my language could probably use some softening.
Oh, but I think you are. So I think there is a real gentleness to you. That's interesting you say, because I do feel there is a gentleness, and I do feel that, you know, and because you've so much knowledge there, you know what you're doing, you know where things are coming from. So yeah, no, totally. No, because I wouldn't be your client otherwise. You know,
that's true.
It's a real insight. This is a great podcast. It's a real insight to me, I suppose, behind the closed doors, and a real insight to you. So I just want to say thank you. And I just want to say, from Talia the Communication Doctor and Marjorie Alexander, adios!
Bye-bye!
Really enjoyed that show. And one of my takeaways from Marjorie is something she said towards the end was, wherever you find yourself, there you are. And the whole idea of embracing you and accepting you, or changing you, or just looking at what you have and appreciating what you have, or, as she says, building a life that you can be proud of. It's never too late to do that. And I suppose that whole idea of building a life to be proud of is very different for different people, because we all have different ideas as to what success is. And as different individuals, we all appreciate different things. So I just want to say thank you to Marjorie for just being so humble and being so authentic in sharing today. Because I think it's important to share from the heart, because then other people can see that we are all just human. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.